Not when you first started, but a little later on, when after A.P. Green started. Yeah. Yeah. But most of the time, in the early days, we worked 10, 12, 14, 15 hours a day.
How come so long?
Well,
seems like a
we were
pretty damn long day.
Well, I made all the hand-molded bricks. I had help. Two, three men making these big hand-molded bricks for the railroad. That was all handwork then. We had molds. We'd stop the clay in and pound it down and sand the mold and pull it out of the mold. And then it had to dry for several days. And it was quite a process. But they had such poor accommodations, poor buildings. It was a mess. And we had them big round kilns where we take the top off the bricks first. They held up to 60,000 bricks, some of them, if they were ordinary bricks. And then we'd put a plank incline about 30 degrees, wheelbars, and put 100 bricks on the wheelbar. And first we only had iron wheelbars, and then we finally got rubber tired. And I tell you, when you got a hold of them handles, you just had put all the weight on them, go like lightning, and pick up the handle, and you get down the bottom. I tell you now, that was a job, and I was just, I weighed probably 135 pounds then. But, you know, I stuck with it, because we needed money, and I tell you, jobs are scarce.
What were they paying at that time?
Well, later on, they paid up around. During the war, they paid four and a half a day.
Two, World War II?
Yeah. And, let's see, somewhere around there. World War I, I wasn't there much, only a year or two then. It wasn't that much then. But World War II, men went out in the woods where they made big money. Well, it's hard to get help. They promised us they'd give four and a half a day. And I don't remember, a 10-hour day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Annie?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and they said they'd remember us.
John,
they sure did.
Sure.
Soon the war is over, they cut us down to $4.
This was the plan.
Yeah, they wanted money for
this
everything.
Oh, this is Annie, and you know, I don't know too much about that. This, yeah.
But
he just had to make a quick trip.
The
to
conditions.
Country.
Have you got to go someplace?
Yeah, I got to go and get the mail now. Hold the bank. Well, that's about all I can tell you.
No,
about.
You can tell me more. I want to ask you. I want to ask you about what
the big
okay.
Well out there in the middle of the street for the horses, and they had two or three sawmills around here. They put the sawdust in on Main Street here, and the logs you can dig down. There'd be one log on top of another.
You suppose I could find it on the
still in pretty
that
good
give you any idea?
Shape. Been underwater, see. And it was almost impossible to go through Main
all
Street.
Right.
Well, you see horses stuck here and there,
you
know.
Uh-huh.
And there's more timber all around. And there were, well, there were some brick buildings, but a lot of them were just wooden buildings with a false front on. And they had two blacksmith shops, because one of them couldn't handle all the business, and there was no water system here. It just almost between every building there was a well, dug well, hole in the ground, and the old houses here, most of them had picket fences around them. They calcimine them every year, paint them with this calcimine paint, which was cheap. And there was, for every place had a barn, had a cow, and the kids come to school, they had to come on horseback, those that could afford a horse. Rest of them walked, they had. So things had changed an awful lot. When we first started here, That was a little before my time. They had Swedish school here. An old wooden building up there. But that was a little before my time. And now, most of the kids in this, they could talk Swedish just as good as English. But after a while, they didn't talk Swedish around here, and mixed with the Americans and the Germans and Norwegians and what have you. And the most of them, after a few years, couldn't talk English. I mean, Swedish.
Anymore?
No.
Did you remember people talking about Marshall Hayes during the...
Yes, yes. I went to school with some of his distant relatives. And I think, well, there was Johnny and Alfred Hayes. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think John Hayes is still living down in Lewiston someplace. And I remember Granny Hayes had a square right over across from the bank up there, and she had cows and had a picket fence around and a barn.
I heard she was kind of a nice lady.
Yeah, she was a little bit hot-tempered, but she was good. She kept the grandchildren. And Henry Hayes, he was, I think they lived up this way then. But that was actually before I was here. But
do you think his reputation was deserved, Marshall Hayes?
He had a lot of enemies. There weren't many people liked him, from what I hear. But they had a boarding house up across the other side of the street, and they had a sign down here at the corner hotel, and this Hayes, he was going to go up and stop the disturbance, and they told him if he get any closer, he'd shoot. And I met the guy here about 15, 20 years ago. His name was Payne Sly. He's the one that shot Hayes. And he was down here, he had a big car. I think he spent 10 or 15 years in jail. But he said that's the worst thing I ever go through. He says every night I wake up and I can see that in front of me. He says, I tell you, it's a punishment, he said. You know, he can't get that out of his mind.
To see him, to see himself shooting?
He shot him quite a ways off. The tournament becomes under pressure, he'd shoot, and he did. He must have been a pretty good shot. He fired once to get the sign on the corner of the hotel. That's hearsay now.
That's what I've heard too.
Yeah.
But
he was good, I guess, and he was tough, but then I believe they had five saloons here. So you know where the money went. But that's before I can remember.
Karen told me that I should be sure to ask you about the birth of your wife's first child. Is there some story about that with the doctor?
Well, there was a doctor. Myers. Well, money was scarce them days too, and I lived in the house. I worked for up in 4 years on the dray too. I forgot about that. We had dray service here. We had wood, coal, and ice. Well, Doc came over and he sat there a couple hours, and I was getting kind of nervous. And I said, Doc, ain't you going to do something? Well, there's nothing to do. Just sit down and take it easy. Well, he stayed there till about midnight, and the baby arrived. And so, well, I said, Doc, I said, would you want a cup of coffee, or would you rather have a beer? Oh, if you don't mind, I'll have a beer. I didn't have no beer. But lucky enough, I went down to I think they had one place just closing up, so I got a beer for them. You like beer. Well, I said, I guess it's about time to settle up, but I haven't got any money. Well, he said, nobody has. But I said, I'll give you a ton or two of coal, and then maybe I can pay you a little and work the rest out. Well, it cost me, I figured, $40 then. So I thought that was much.
Was that right during the Depression?
That was 1933.
Did you worked on the dray during the Depression? Is that what you did to get
it? I worked there from 1928 to 1932, I think it was.
How rough was it for people in town?
It was rough.
It says or equivalent.
And then they got the blister rust and WPA and one thing and another going, and they made a little money here, and they started put in the sewer system. The labor cost less than $10,000, and it was all dug by hand, every bit of it. They couldn't dig across the streets here now for that much.
Listen, I don't want to keep you on this bit. I'll have to go, but maybe there's some time when when you first started it?
Not when you first started, a little later on. After A.P. Green started. Yeah. But most of the time, in the early days, we worked 10, 12, 14, 15 hours a day.
How come so long? Seems like pretty damn long days.
Well, I made all the hand-molded bricks. I had help. Two or three men making this big hand-mold brick for the railroad. That was all handwork then. We had molds. We'd slop the clay in and pound it down, and sand the mold and pull it out of the mold. And then it had to dry for several days. And it was quite a process. But they had such poor accommodations, poor buildings. It was a mess. And we had them big round kilns where we take the top off the bricks first. They held up to 60,000 bricks, some of them, if they were ordinary bricks. And we'd put a plank incline about 30 degrees, wheelbars, and put 100 bricks on the wheelbar. And first we only had iron wheelbars, and then we finally got rubber tired. And I tell you, when you got a hold of them handles, you just had put all the weight on them, go like lightning, and pick up the handle, and you get down the bottom. I tell you now, that was a job, and I was just, I weighed probably 135 pounds then. But, you know, I stuck with it, because we needed money, and I tell you, jobs are scarce.
What were they paying you at that time?
Well, later on they paid up around. During the war, they paid $4.50 a day.
To World War II?
Yeah. And, let's see, somewhere around there. World War I, I wasn't there much, only a year or two then. It wasn't that much then. But World War II, men went out in the woods where they made big money. Well, it's hard to get help. They promised us they'd give $4.50 a day. And I don't remember, it was a 10-hour day, I think. Annie?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and they said they'd remember us. They sure did. Soon the war's over, they cut us down to $4.
This was the plan.
Yeah, they wanted money for
dividends.
Oh, this
is Annie, and you know, I don't know too much about that.
But
he just had to make a quick trip.
The conditions. Have you got to go someplace?
Yeah, I got to go and get the mail now. Hold the bank. Well, that's about all I can tell you.
No, you can tell me more. I want to ask you about what
the big well out there in the middle of the street for the horses. And they had two or three sawmills around here. They'd put the sawdust in on Main Street here. And the logs, you can dig down, there'd be one log on top of another.
You suppose I could find it on the
still in pretty good
give you any idea?
Shape. Been underwater, see? And it was almost impossible to go through Main Street.
All right.
You see horses stuck here and
you bet.
Know. And there's more timber all around. And there were some brick buildings, but a lot of them were just wooden buildings with a false front on. And they had two blacksmith shops because one of them couldn't handle all the business. And there was no water system here. It just almost between every building there was a well, dug well, hole in the ground. And the old houses here, most of them had picket fences around them. They calcimine them every year, paint them with this calcimine paint, which was cheap. And there was, pretty every place had a barn, had a cow, and the kids come to school, they had to come on horseback, those that could afford the horse. Rest of them walked, I guess. So things have changed an awful lot. When we first started here, that was a little before my time, they had Swedish school here. An old wooden building up here, but that was a little before my time. And now, most of the kids them days, they could talk Swedish just as good as English, but after a while they didn't talk Swedish around here, and mixed with the Americans and the Germans and Norwegians and what have you. And the most of them, after a few years, couldn't talk English. I mean Swedish.
Anymore?
No.
Did you remember people talking about Marshall Hayes very much?
Yes, yes. I went to school with some of his distant relatives, and I think, well, there was Johnny and Alfred Hayes. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think John Hayes is still living down in Lewiston someplace. And I remember Granny Hayes had a square right over across from the bank up there, and she had cows and had a picket fence around and a barn.
I heard she was kind of a nice lady.
Yeah, she was a little bit hot-tempered, but she was good. She kept the grandchildren. And Henry Hayes, I think they lived up this way then. But that was actually before I was here. But
do you think his reputation was deserved, Marshall Hayes?
He had a lot of enemies. And many people liked him, from what I hear. But they had a boarding house up across the other side of the street, and they had a sign down here at the corner hotel, and this Hayes, he was going to go up and stop the disturbance, and they told him if he get any closer, he'd shoot. And I met the guy here about 15, 20 years ago. His name was Payne Sly. He's the one that shot Hayes. He was down here, he had a big car. I think he spent 10 or 15 years in jail. But he said that's the worst thing I ever go through. He says every night I wake up and I can see that in front of me. He says, I tell you, it's a punishment, he said. You know, he can't get that out of his mind.
To see him, to see himself shooting?
He shot him from quite a ways off. The torment becomes under pressure, he'd shoot, and he did. He must have been a pretty good shot. He fired once to hit the sign on the corner of the hotel. That's hearsay now.
That's what I've heard too.
Yeah.
He
was good, I guess, and he was tough, but then.
I heard his sons were tough.
I believe they had five saloons here. So you know where the money went. But that's before I can remember.
Karen told me that I should be sure to ask you about the birth of your wife's first child. Is there some story about that with a doctor?
There was a doctor. Myers. Well, money was scarce them days too, and I lived in the house. I worked for the, I put in 4 years on the dray too. I forgot about that. They had dray service here. We had wood, coal, and ice. Well, Doc came over and he sat there a couple hours, and I was getting kind of nervous. And said, "Doc, ain't you going to do something?" Well, there's nothing to do. Just sit down, and take it easy. Well, he stayed there till about midnight, and the baby arrived. And so, well, I said, "Doc." I said, "Would you want a cup of coffee, or would you rather have a beer?" "Oh, if you don't mind, I'd have a beer." I didn't have no beer. But lucky enough, I went down to, I think they had one place just closing up, so I got a beer for him. He liked beer. And, well, I said, "I guess it's about time to settle up, but I haven't got any money." Well, he said, "Nobody has." But I said, "I'll give you a ton or two of coal, and then maybe I can pay you a little and work the rest out." Well, it cost me, I figured, $40 then. So I thought that was much.
Was that right during the Depression?
That was 1933.
Did you worked on the dray during the Depression? Is that what you did to get?
I worked there from 1928 to 1932, I think it was.
How rough was it for people in town?
It was rough.
It says or equivalent.
And then they got the blister rust and WPA and one thing and another going, and they made a little money here and started put in the sewer system. The labor cost less than $10,000, and it was all dug by hand, every bit of it. I couldn't dig across the street here now for that much.
Listen, I don't want to keep you on this, but if you gotta go, but maybe there's some time when we